Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, welcome this morning. We are in a series of thought during the fall months. I don't know for how long, but for a while at least. To define, to put before you more of a vision for why we're here. We're not your, I don't know, ordinary church. I feel like we are paying close attention to what the Lord Jesus wants this church to be in this age. To do that, we have some wonderful relationships we pay attention to. First, and the most honored in this church, is our relationship to the written Word of God, and today I'm going to talk about that. Something I talk about a lot, which is equal to our relationship with God's Word, is our understanding of relationship with the person of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God with us in this life. When people pray in Jesus' name, it's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, that gives us the answer. It's the Word of God, the written Word, that is a picture of who Jesus is. So when Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone, I'll send you another Comforter, He sent us a Comforter, the person of the Holy Spirit. But He also left with us the great written Word of God. The Word of God that for us as a church is the final authority. It's what we look to as the highest authority in our lives individually, in our ministry as a church, in our mission for the kingdom. It's where we look to for God's desire, God's will, or you could say it this way, God's opinion on stuff. You know, this church is first to minister to the Lord and His needs, and what that simply is to represent Him well in the earth, to be accurate in who we say He is, to be accurate in what it is He's come to do, to represent Him rather than ourselves and our opinions. We have to allow Him to change our mind to line up with what His will is. So we have to look to the written Word. Otherwise, people in various desires to persuade you will try to be God's voice in your life, and God's voice comes from two sources. First, His written Word that He's given us that never changes, which is a representation of who Jesus is, and second, the confirming knowing that the Holy Spirit, His person, gives you. When you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, lives inside of you, and when you hear God's Word and you see it's in your Bible, your spirit on the inside, where the Holy Spirit lives, says, that's right, and that's for you. Sometimes we hear Scripture and we think that's for me because we're excited about what we hear, because it's going to do something for us or get something for us or bless us. Those traditionally are the sermons people want to hear again and again and again. But those are not the most life-changing things to hear. The most life-changing things to hear are the things that the Holy Spirit knows we need. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. So when I get up to preach, I never make up a sermon. Never done it in my life. I don't preach somebody else's sermon, though I might draw inspiration from others I hear because I enjoy listening to others preach and teach the Word. I spend time looking at the Scripture to interpret it carefully because 2 Timothy 2:15 says that I will be ashamed before God if I have not done that. So I take that seriously. So when I talk about the value of God's Word in our church, sitting here doing a little simple math a little bit ago, I thought in the last 15 years I've devoted study to God's Word to 12,500 some hours. Now that's not a wow, that's necessary to teach the Word, or I will be ashamed before Jesus. Now, you can be glad you get to reap benefits from that. I want you to know how seriously we take that and how devoted someone called of God to be a teacher must be. When these young folks go off to Bible school, they're getting a taste, they're getting a beginning, they're setting the tone for a lifestyle that has a very different discipline to it. Where others spend a lot of time entertaining, I have to spend a lot of time looking again at God's Word because I learn something every time I look. God's Word never ends in giving you a revealed truth. That's why Scripture says faith comes by hearing it again and again and again. I think that we grow in confidence. We grow in our competence to witness and to share with others. We grow in our capacity of understanding God by studying. Now, something happens when we study God's Word. Our spirit on the inside, where His Spirit lives, where Jesus lives, knows that that's the truth. Knows that it's going to help us. And our spirit on the inside, which is the most eternal part of you, is excited at hearing God's Word and says, this is what we need to be more like Jesus. But sometimes your mind says, this does not compute. This does not match my current situation. This does not match my lifestyle. This does not match my desire stream. This does not match my education and training and background. And then you come into conflict. Sadly, those kinds of messages make a lot of people withdraw where the Holy Spirit is trying to draw us in by showing us that something in our life is still broken. When you are born again into the family of God, you are born again a new creation or a new species. When you come into spiritual living, everything about you started out broken in a broken world. Think of it this way, if a baby was born with all the bones broken, thankfully babies' bones are soft. So soft they bend when babies being born. I believe when we're born again, we have an experience like that, where we come into a spiritual knowing as a newborn child, ready to grow and learn, but this world is out to try to withhold the best God has. And Scripture identifies that as all of your joints being out of joint and all of your bones being broken. That's our spiritual condition without getting hold of God's Word. We're born again into a promise that all of that can be fixed. But the fix is up to us hearing God's Word and saying, I will do that. And then something snaps back into place. I don't know if you've ever had a bone reset. I've never had a broken bone reset. Three or four, they tell me, should have been that were not. So I have a hump on my shoulder and a bump on my knee and different little things that where I didn't really know there was a break. So I've never experienced that. But I have experienced my shoulders going out, totally out, being crunched back in. I know how to crunch them back in myself now. You know, you can ignore a situation like that and it will get worse. Or you can go through a moment of significant pain to pop it back in place and then a little healing period before it's going to work right. That describes what should be happening when you hear the Word. The Word is meant to, and not every sermon does this for every person, thankfully, or everybody. Dear Lord, if it's constant. But when we're first starting out, everything we hear in God's Word is like a shock. What? I've never thought of that before. I never heard that before. I never knew that before. That doesn't match my life. I tried that and it didn't work for me. Well, you got to have help from the Holy Spirit when you step out. I didn't learn to reset my shoulder till it had been done for me about three times. And I paid the doctor bills. And I decided, you know, I believe if I lay just right on the floor and I throw my body weight over, I can do this myself. It's worked ever since. I've saved the doctor bill every time. It hurts just as much. But, it's quick, it's effective, and it works. So, well, why didn't God just heal that? I don't know. Why didn't He heal your warts? I don't know, you know. I don't worry about that. But I have learned something about God's Word. God's Word is meant to fix what's broken. And anything that He's not touched in your life is probably broken. A lot of times we hobble around and protect what's broken because we don't want it to be exposed. We don't feel like we want to deal with it, or we remember, oh, it caused me such pain already, that we don't even recognize God has a fix for that part of our life. Many times we come to church shielding those things instead of being open about them. Last week I used an example of being in an open locker room and church having that effect on people because it's a changing place. Beyond change, there's something more significant that God's Word does. Church is an environment where change is protected. Change is respected. Change is a wonderful thing. And when anybody comes in and has need for change, they recognize, oh, I'm like everybody else that loves Jesus. I need to grow and change. Well, the change agent is God's Word, and the helper, the one called alongside to help us change, is the person of the Holy Spirit. One of the characteristics, I will say a hallmark trait of this church, must be the combination of those two things. And that we as people step back and say, I'm not going to judge, I'm not going to be the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to be God's Word. I'm going to let the preacher bring the Word and the seed drop down in the heart of each person. And then when you want to, see, I can't call the Holy Spirit alongside to make it happen for each person. He's so personal, He allows our will to be what we have to give over to Him. So when you hear the Scripture, if you say, oh, that cut me today, you have a choice to go away with a fresh wound, knowing the Holy Spirit wants to reach in there and fix something, or it'll heal up and you'll hear that same word again and it'll cut you to the core again. Sometimes people get tired of hearing the Word because they don't undergo the transformation or change. In today's culture of everybody doing their own thing, much of God's Word is being rejected by even much of the church because it's not meant to be a feel-good all the time. I'll tell you something about feeling good. When you've had some broken places fixed and then you hear the message and you've already been reset in that area, you can say amen and you enjoy that one. But when you're saying amen and it's really, oh me, I'm out of joint right there, then you got to mix faith with it. Yeah, most people, the first time they hear a message on giving, God wants us to be more a giver than a receiver. And then you show some verses, people say things like, well, that I talked to my grandmother about that, and she said that was Old Testament. Well, it's New Testament, too. Grandma didn't study the Word enough to know any better. But people will throw out, why it cuts across the grain of how we think. I don't know if I want to believe that. Well, then some part of your relationship with God will perpetually be broken. See, the Word is meant to expose those things. And the goodness of God is He does it little by little instead of all at once. Otherwise, we just want to crawl in the bed and say, all right, let's get it all over with. But instead, He wants a relationship where bit by bit we learn to trust Him. And then He changes our thinking. If God can change your mind, He will change your life. That's His promise. But your mind and changing your mind is the gateway, is the door for God to change what you say. And God is bound to His Word coming out of your mouth. Well, I'm going to share as much as I can today, but God's Word is so important to us that I don't know, we're going to talk about this for a while. Because I don't think that you maybe grasp the gravity of God's Word the way I want you to. I want you to recognize that here, it's one of our most important things that God's Word is presented. So you're in a teaching church. Once in a while, I get to preach. I think last Sunday was kind of preachy. Why is it different anointing? And I enjoy when I get to do that. Why? It's quite frankly, it's fun to do that. Why? It's just something totally different about it. But the gravity of what God has to say, the most important thing that He's told me that I could ever do for this church is to teach those things He has taught me and trust that He will stir in the hearts of every person what they can have in their relationship with God. I want you to have the greatest confidence in God's Word and the person of the Holy Spirit of any people that walk the face of the earth, because that's what I believe we have to offer. Now, this is from Isaiah 51, verse 16. And I would call this today giving God's Word the highest place of authority in our lives. When you recognize it as the highest authority, it settles everything for you. It settles what you ought to think. It helps you return to center with God. where you're going to hear a whole lot of opinions out there that are coming from Christians. I don't take a lot of stock in those opinions. In fact, I take no stock in them. I might hear them, say, well, that sounds interesting. But then I say, where is that in the Scripture? And if I can't find it, I throw that opinion on the junk heap along with a lot of other stuff. Why? Because a lot of times people base their opinion of what God will do on their life experience. Well, if they don't have a very rich relationship with God's Word, they don't know what they're talking about. If they don't know the person of the Holy Spirit, they may think something that happened to them that they interpreted as good was something great and it wasn't anything at all. So what do? We look to God's Word and we listen to His Holy Spirit. There's another thing that I want to kind of diminish that is coming on in the world right now. We're in the information age. Information is not truth. Most of it is a lie. It is based on this world. God wants us to be careful to know enough of His Word to reject information when it takes us away from His Word. You can get a lot of information from the doctor. And I hear people say, well, what about healing? I experience healing in my body. I've experienced a lot of wonderful miracles in my physical body from the Lord. They didn't all come instantly. Some came because of choices and discipline and listening to my teacher. But I've learned the report of the doctor is the doctor's report. If I don't like what I'm hearing from the doctor, I look in the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? God's report is, as Jesus is my healer. And I decide which one do I want in my mind more. You get a bad report from the doctor, you don't erase it from your mind. It kind of lingers in there. Why, he's an authority. He's trained to tell you what he sees and what he knows about it. That's his job. Can't get mad at him for doing his job. But what we can do is say, Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. Show me what I need in my mind. Show me what I need to be thinking about, that Jesus is my healer. Show me how to get that so in my heart that that's bigger than the doctor's report, that that's on my mind more. You know how you find out which report's on your mind more? Which one do you talk about more? That's the barometer. Now, and it doesn't matter what people think about it. Somebody says, well, what's wrong with you, Pastor? I might give him a 10-word summary of the doctor's report, but then I'll give him a 100-word summary of God's report. Which one's better than the other? The bigger one's bigger, see? We decide to magnify the Lord that way. It's a decision. It honors Him, but it also changes our mind. That's how you release faith in God's Word. You begin to put it in your mouth, and pretty soon it is more dominating of what you're saying than the negative things. Everybody has negative things to overcome. We don't need to be ashamed of them, and we don't need to deny them. We don't need to pretend they don't exist. We need to be honest about them. But in our life experience, that's a little bit of life. God's Word is the big piece. Amen. But only as big as we choose to believe. So in the hearing, we start believing. So you see, when people miss out on a message from heaven, it's one of the most stupid things we can do in this life. Because the power to change, the power to reset, the power to be fixed, the power to change anything is in God's Word. To change anything. Now, Isaiah 51:16, God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he said, I have put my words in your mouth so that I might say to you, you are my people. God identifies His people when we say His Word. So I thought He identified me when I was born again. Remember, Jesus said in the New Testament, there's some that are going to come to Him saying, but Jesus, we called You Lord and we did miracles in Your name. And Jesus saying, depart from me, I never knew you. So He's talking about people putting God's Word in their mouth. And this is Old Testament, but it's also in the New Testament. So you want to line up with God, you start talking God talk. Some people say, well, that... I don't like that faith message. Well, I'm sorry for you. It means we choose to talk God talk. Sadly, some people want to deny what's going on. We don't deny what's going on in this physical realm. I have physical life too. But I'm not going to let the physical life determine my future when it isn't going well physically. That'd be like saying, well, my shoulder's broken. I'm going to get it reset, but I can never use it again. Then why reset it? Why go through the pain? Just let it waste away, or just cut it off, you know. The scripture says if something offends you, cut it off. Well, that isn't God's will, is it? We'd all look pitiful in a hurry because things go wrong physically. So what do? We reset. We regroup. We go through a therapy. I'm involved in a lot of people's therapy right now. Thinking, dear Lord Jesus, I'm just going to keep taking care of me. So that I don't, because what? Therapy is harder than just taking care of yourself in the first place. The Holy Spirit wants to avoid extensive therapy by just walking us through the discipline of living after God in the Spirit. When we say God's word out of our mouth, it's the same thing as prophesying or preaching your own future. It's saying, this is what I choose to think about, and I'm saying the things I'm thinking about. And I might have a thought that I don't want to talk about. I might have a thought of something I'm overcoming, but I'm going to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what God says about that matter. And what do? You upset the balance of power. You begin to put the power over in God's court. Say, God, you're going to empower my words, because when I say your words, you say I belong to you. God has a fierce protection for his children. He has a way to deliver us from trouble and deliver us into blessing. And it has to do with what we choose to say. I've learned something, that the believing usually does not come before the saying. The saying helps convince us to be a believer. And pretty soon we go, I'm getting this. I'm getting this. All the thinking in the world won't do it. This isn't the power of positive thinking. This is the power of speaking God's word that's greater than our thinking. Well, I want to jump through four hoops today that are important ones. And we're going to revisit them again, because I want you to learn some things that I know. People ask me routinely, why, when you pray, do you get the answer? Why do you, how is it? Because I say, most of the time, I get the answer I'm looking for. When I don't, I ask my teacher, what I need to do different? What happened here? Why? He wants to teach me and tell me. So I want you to have the same experience, that more and more you see prayers answered, you see God moving, you'll become bolder to be his witness, you'll enjoy life much more. God's word reveals to us whatever's been broken. And you can think of it this way. Everything's been broken and out of joint. And when you got born again, you got in bed with God's word to be fixed up. Every time you hear God's word, you're saying, I submit. What do you want to do to me? And he does a little poke thing. I don't know if you've done this with your doctor, but if you ever have gut pain, I go to an internist, lay down on the table. And relax and poke, poke. He's poking. I said, "What can you?" I said, I can feel all your internal organs. You know, interesting. I can't tell what he's touching other than I know what's supposed to be there. But understand, the Holy Spirit uses God's word to expose something that needs to be fixed. And then we have to make a decision to let God's word do that work or not. Because his spirit, while he's in there, I had a cyst removed from my forehead years ago. Most people didn't even know it, but it's a genetic thing in our family, and my brothers have a number of them. I had one on my forehead. I just didn't like it. Looked ugly. People said, what's wrong with you? Is that brain matter leaking? No, it's not my brain matter leaking. It's not my brain exploding. So I had it taken off, and I remember what I said to the surgeon as he was counting backward, and I just had time to say, I said, you find anything else wrong, fix it while I'm out, don't fix it when I'm awake. And then I was out, and I had the assurance, whatever it was. The Holy Spirit will do like that if we let him. Then when we come out of it, he can really do what he calls restoring. Understand, God is always restoring what's been broken, and we don't even know what we had because it came out broken. You won't know the riches God has in mind for you until you submit to the Holy Spirit, because it's always been broken. Parts of our life that we think are personality that are just holding us back, we need to recognize might be something broken God wants to fix so that we're not held back. God likes to take what we know we're not and prove that he's real. Why, he inserts who he is right there, and it's better than we could ever be on our own. He helps us that way. This is Hebrews 4:12, and I would say this is the jumping off point for a New Testament church to understand what God's Word does when it's being preached. And this will help you understand your feelings. Or sometimes you'll feel euphoric and happy and want to clap, and other times you say, "Dear God, I want to crawl in a hole because somebody knows that applies to me." That's your locker room moment. There are moments you want to be on stage parading around, and that's your great amen. I hope you get both. I hope you get to experience both. Because as we grow, we have moments where we recognize He's fixed something. Then we have moments where we recognize something is broken and it applies to us. And we have to decide on the spot. That's why we have a quiet time, an altar time, a prayer time at the close of Sunday meetings. For people to decide whether they want to submit to the Holy Spirit or not. Sometimes I think you can do that without assistance. Other times I think you need to be in the altar and have somebody pray for you, pray with you. Because sometimes we don't know how to ask for what we need the way we should. That's what the Scripture says. So we find somebody to stand in the gap as an intercessor. The gap is somebody knows more about the Scripture than you know. So if at the end of the day-to-day you think, well, I've got something broken and I want it fixed, there'll be people in the altar that can stand in the gap for you and with you to get it fixed. Because you may not know where it is in the Scripture. I challenge our elders and our pastors to know those things. And occasionally you might ask something they don't know. They'll come running asking. And I've not had them ask me one yet I couldn't answer. Sometimes I'd go home and look first, look it up. Now, I know that somewhere in such and such book. Why, I don't have photographic memory on everything. Some things I do, but not everything, not yet anyway. Now, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God," that's your Bible, but not the book. That's the words when they get in your heart, when you're exposed to them. "The word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing." In other words, it's supposed to do something right off the bat. You're supposed to hear it and go, it jolts you. I don't know if any of those things hit me, I'm going to know it. If quick hits me, I'm going to know it. If powerful hits me, I'm going to know it. If sharper than a two-edged sword cuts me, I don't like being cut. I'd rather be, I had to take all those other kind of hits than be cut or pierced. But it's supposed to do something when it happens. This is what God's Word does. If it's really preached as God's Word, so if you hear a message and there's no piercing to it, you are hearing somebody's opinion. The Word has this edge to it. That's why Jesus said the world wasn't going to love Him. Why, He was the embodiment of the Scripture. He said, I'm not going to come to make peace the way you think. It's going to be like everywhere I go, I'm going to stir up trouble. Why? Because people aren't going to like their darkness exposed or what's wrong. We live in an age where people don't want to hear that anything's wrong with them, that they can have their own version of right. If that creeps into your house, boot it out. It's a lie. See, that's the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of God is a set standard that never changes. That's what Hebrews 13:8 says regarding the person of Jesus and His written word. They don't change. "Piercing under the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, something's going to happen to you when you hear the word. There's going to be an identification with a part of your life that exposes anything that's broken. It's going to happen quick. It's going to happen. It's going to present with power. Why the power? Because God brings the power to heal at the moment He cuts something open in you. He says, "I'm here to fix it right now." That's why when we hear God's word, we can choose faith and say, "I'm having that right now." That can be a quick work. I would like that kind of surgery best. If I have to have a surgery, make a little bitty hole, do it really fast, wake me up. And if there was a way to not let me go to sleep and I didn't feel anything, I think that would be cool. But I've learned that you can still feel it unless you're just totally out. And sometimes I feel it then. So what does God's word do then? It cuts right to the core of what needs fixing in us when we hear it. And we have to choose to receive the fix or throw out the fix. That's what God's Word does. So when we hear it in this kind of setting, we're coming intending to make ourselves open to let God do His work with His Word. But then we invite the Holy Spirit. That's what our altar is about. Or if you're praying in your seat, say, "Holy Spirit, I want to receive this. What I heard in the Word today. My faith is stirred. I know You pierced my heart. I know that You've illuminated something in my mind." That's usually how the piercing happens. We go, That's me. And then if everybody around you knows it's you, I mean, especially the people sitting on your row that usually live in your same house, and you suddenly feel exposed, you either are exposed for nothing or we are exposed to let the Holy Spirit change us. And the promise of God is His Word never changes, and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works in us both to will and do His good pleasure, which is to fix, to restore, to take care of us. So His Word presents a point of conflict. It's not a good sermon unless you hear conflict in it. Maybe you're not in the conflict, but you hear conflict in the message. Maybe you've survived that conflict. Maybe you've had that place restored and you go, oh, amen. I can hear the different kinds of amen in our congregation. Sometimes they're really like, oh, God, get it over with. Other times they're, thank God I've already got that. Thank God I already know that. Oh, and then sometimes it's even better. Ooh, there's another layer I didn't know I could have. I'm having, those are the most joy where you've experienced God doing something in you by His Spirit when you heard the Word, but you recognize you just heard another layer of something better. Now, understand we're in a world that has broken thinking. So when we come into this world, we are in this broken thinking, broken life mode. Without God's Word, we stay broken, but when we begin to hear God's Word, we think that we've been right all along, and the Word is some new culture weird thing. When God's Word presents to us how God intended things to be from the Garden of Eden, God's Word gives us the ability to have more of a God kind of life, what the Scripture calls Zoe life, or the kind of life God intended for everybody to have. That means in John 10, when it says, Jesus said, I've come to give you a more abundant life, He's talking about that kind of life. Jesus also said He was the light of the world, and if we are in Him, there's no darkness in us because the light pushes the darkness out. That's another description of this surgical procedure I'm talking about being reset by God's Word. He said if our heart, Jesus said this, if our heart is dark, our eye is dark, then our whole being is filled with darkness. What was He saying? If we don't embrace God's Word, we're going to remain in darkness to the truth, and we're going to stumble around in this life wanting to know God but never letting Him do a work in us to prove Himself real in our life. I hear people say, new believers or lost folks, say things like, Pastor, how can I experience something of God that's so real I can't deny Him? I said, you have to become a part of the family to know that. When you're born again, you have an experience like that. But you've got to ask Jesus into your heart, submitting to Him, repenting from your sin, and then you're going to feel different. You're going to know you're different. And that's the beginning. I said, up until then, you're a person in utero. You've not taken your first breath of new life yet, but when you do, you'll know something's changed. And what do we know? We recognize then God has something significant for us every time we hear the Scripture. Now, God's Word will identify, and the Holy Spirit will reset the broken places. I think I've established that, but preaching then is meant to, God's Word is meant to make us uncomfortable, is what Hebrews 4:12 says. Like I said, there will be times you hear something, say amen, and you're excited because you've grown in that area. There will be other times you say amen by faith. There will be other times you can't make a peep, because you feel like everybody around you is looking at you saying, I know that's you. So in that sense, that's what I meant by the locker room. There's moments you want to love everybody you go to church with and make a love pact is what I call it. To not judge one another. To be patient with one another. To recognize everybody's got broken lives being restored. That's why we are called to do church. And so that as we get fixed up and better repaired for life here, we can help others in the process. Now, I can show any of you how to reset your shoulder if it goes out. Just call me, I'll come over. I'll tell you, do it like this, and it'll pop back into place most likely first time out. Well, I'll sit on you if it doesn't, because I know the benefit of 200 pounds throwing that weight over there. But you see, God's Word is like that. Once you've experienced it, and you've experienced a healing of something that was broken that you didn't even know was broken, you can now do something you couldn't do before. You can now live in a way you didn't live before. You now have a confidence that you didn't have before. That's what the Word does. You'll not know how worldly your thinking is until God's Word opposes it. There'll be times that you hear some think, really? I don't know if that's right or not. That's usually what you'll do first. I don't know if that's right or not. Well, go look in God's Word or go ask a preacher. Is there something more in the Bible about that? I like being asked that question. Why? It makes some of those hours worthwhile. Why? There's always an answer there if we ask the teacher to show us where it is. Now, this is 1 Peter, and I'm intentionally using New Testament for the most of this. I used the Old Testament verse to show you it was the same in the Old Covenant. If they wanted God on their side, if they wanted to be in His family, they spoke His Word. And then He identified with them, and He's faithful to His Word always to perform it. We know that from the New Testament. 1 Peter 2 talks about this thinking being changed, because if the Holy Spirit's going to reset something, we hear a spiritual truth that drops down inside and we say, oh, that's for me. Or we say, ooh, that's for me, but some version of that's for me. Then the Holy Spirit will be called alongside to help us as our helper and teacher to change the way we think, so we will change what we say to line up with what God says. See, God doesn't want you just saying what you want. That won't work for you. You've got to say what God says about what you want. That will work for you. Why? He's looking for His Word, not your need, not your desire. So many times when people say, well, I prayed for this desire and I didn't get it. So, well, what did you use as a basis to get God's attention? Well, my need. Well, that'll never work with God. He's not moved by need. He's moved by faith. Amen. He's moved by faith in hearing His Word. So what do? We find somebody who knows that. I learned the most, the quickest, by asking a lot of people questions that knew more than I did about the Scripture. Then when they'd tell me something, I'd go look for that for my own self to get a hold of it. You want to do the same thing. If prayers aren't being answered, I'll tell you 9 times out of 10, it's just ignorance. This is the still walking in ignorance a little bit myself. Why? Every so often I say, I didn't see that happen like I asked. I got one thing pending right now I can think of. I said, Lord, I want that fixed in a week. It wasn't. So I'm going to go back. Sorry, that was my desire. I need to find out what more can I say about this that's Your Word in my mouth. And I'll be charged up and ready. It'll take me about 3 days to do that. Why? I'm impatient. I'll admit it. I like my prayers answered yesterday before I think of them. And you know, that's kind of scriptural too, he said. Now, 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 6, he that believes on Jesus, who is the Word of God, shall not be confounded, shall not be confused. God's not the author of confusion. He never introduces confusion. When confusion comes, it's either a lack of understanding on our part or it's the work of the enemy. That's why I say be careful of too much information. You want truth to override. You want God's truth to override information. Many times it won't match up. Truth is more valuable. Why? God says that's how it is for eternity. Unto you, therefore, who believe, Jesus is precious. Jesus, the Word, is made the head of the corner of the building. In other words, He's the cornerstone who we build our life around. But He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them who stumble at His Word. Notice when the Word comes, either you'll say, Jesus, I'm building my life around that, and we submit to Him, or we stumble right there. He's not talking to the world here. He's talking to Christians here. To understand, He's talking to a group of church folks to understand that the Word will do one of two things. It'll make you stumble, or it'll make you submit to Jesus. The cornerstone was the piece of stone they put in that everything else got laid out by so the building would stand. When you think about the house built on the rock, think about the cornerstone. Our life is to be the house built on the rock. He's talking about this cornerstone. He's talking about whenever we don't line up with the Word of God when we hear it, that part of the house is not going to stand. You think of your spiritual house as being vast, not a tiny little thing. But you are a marvelously created being like unto God, made in His image. That means your life is a complicated thing. If you haven't learned that yet, your life is a complicated thing. You can either build on this life, or you can build on the life to come. You can either invest primarily in this life or invest in eternal things and things to come. And Jesus warned us where we ought to be investing and being careful. Why? Our investment there kind of determines what we walk into when we go over there, just for you to know. So what would he have us do with his word? He said it's going to drive us one way or the other. So understand, when the word comes, it's like a sword to show you what's disjointed and what needs to be reset. When he talks about joints and marrow back there, he's talking about literally like a skeletal structure. We can't live and move and have our being in him unless we let him do a work on us. Otherwise, we'll just know about him, but we won't know him. And that's a very dangerous place to walk. Why? Well, we begin to stumble over the word then that we're seeing here in 1 Peter that we're looking at now. Stumbling, and when you stumble enough, you know, I've been told, well, Pastor, you talk too much about money. This is years ago. I don't talk nearly enough about it. Why? Because when people say that, they've stumbled. Or they wouldn't say that. They're identifying people. So, well, I wish you wouldn't talk about sin. Okay, what's your deal? I mean, just because kind of know. Why? Because that's kind of how we are. We stumble over something. We're like, we get up. We don't want anybody to see we stumbled right there. But there's obviously something that tripped us up. The evidence is, you know, we get up and act like it wasn't us. Have you ever done that? I mean, be honest. I've tripped getting out of the car before, looking around like, oh, dear Lord. You know, when he, but hope nobody I know saw me. At least they maybe didn't. That's our nature, to be ashamed of something silly like that. But it should be a warning sign to us. There's just a stumbling. Then when we hear it again and hear it again, pretty soon we close our ears to it because we're offended at that word. Jesus warned that people would be more offended at him than would choose to believe him in the earth. Why are there so many disjointed things happening within churches right now of what's okay for a lifestyle and what's not? And what about all these new sexual orientations? What about all of this stuff? The word says when people stumble over what God said is a standard enough, people will be offended. Where we're living in the generation that has the highest being offended rate of probably any people that have ever lived. Why? Because everybody wants to write their version of the gospel instead of looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher. And I say this and I'll say it again. We want anybody and everybody to be able to come to our church and be welcome. But we will not change what God's word says to accommodate a feeling when we're supposed to feel something when God's word comes to help us change. Otherwise, Scripture says we're making God's word of none effect. That means it's worthless, and that preacher probably in danger of hellfire, in my opinion. Why? Because I look at what the word says for the standard for the preacher and think, dear God, all these young people go, and I'm glad, but I got to give them some warnings. I tell them, look, you recognize what you're getting into here. You got to study. You want to know the person of the Holy Spirit. You want to represent him and not yourself. I can't get up and preach what I want to preach. I've got to get up and preach what his word says. Why? I can't help you grow or be free or reset any joints or get straightened out if you've been tripped up. I don't know if you've ever run a race, but if you're in a relay race and you're in a relay with four people in it and you're the one that trips, when you get up, a sudden burst of energy will hit you if you're thinking right. And you will suddenly pull out all the stops, or will be something in you you didn't know you had before. That should happen in you when you team up with people in fellowship in this church, where you recognize we're running a race together, but some of it's like a relay, where you're running, then you get a break and rest. Running and get a lot of ministry works that way, where people come in and are strong and then need to step back and work on something, and we just together carry ministry forward. We've got a number of people that do that very well here. It's a relay race. If ever anybody in the relay trips, the rest of the team doesn't go, you dog, and run up and kick them. They better not. Coach will have their head, their hide for that. But what we ought to do is we cheer all the louder, knowing that person's got to pull out the reserve that they didn't know they had. And in your case, it's God-given. The Holy Spirit is that extra reserve. And he says, you can and will do it. And it's usually what the coach says, get up. And you're already trying to get up before he screams it out. But that's the person of the Holy Spirit at doing God's word, that if there's been a stumbling, get up. Choose to hear the word again and say, I'm going to give this another chance to work on me, because God isn't going to change his mind about anything. So we've got to recognize who our God is. He's never changing his mind or his word about anything. So when we find it, if you find it in the scripture, you're not going to change God's mind by praying hard. His mind's made up. Why? That's the way we're intended to live, and it brings a victory. It brings a joy. It brings a peace that passes all understanding. Now, he talked about those that are stumbling at the word. Here's what he says. Being disobedient to Jesus, to whom they were appointed. In other words, once we're saved, this is God's expectation. So if we choose to stumble at the word instead of doing the word, we're stumbling at God's expectation. We've been appointed. Understand, you are appointed to do God's will in his word, all of it. So, well, dear Lord, how do I know what to do? You learn to rightly divide the word of truth, number one. Scripture is written to three groups of people, addressing three groups of people. The Jews, the church, and the lost, what Scripture calls Gentiles in the New Testament. Those outside of God's family. You want to know which covenant you're of. That's why so much study. That's why I proclaim God's mercy more than his judgment. Why? We're in a covenant filled with God's mercy. So merciful is he that he gave Jesus so we could experience mercy, and he puts off all judgment till the final throne for those that are in his family. I like knowing that. Instead of taking a lawish standpoint, looking at what he said to the Jews about the Ten Commandments, say, break one, you've broken them all, and you'll go to hell. So you say, well, that helps me sort out my theology. If you came from a traditional church, they blend all of that together a lot of times. You don't know what to think. People say, well, it seems like God's word contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. You've got to know how to rightly divide it. And if you don't know how to rightly divide it, you'll be ashamed of the outcome because you won't know what you're doing. So what do? We learn to rightly divide it. Is this for me? And we look at who's he talking to in this passage? And we learn some things. That's just a little oversight for you to understand. There's a right way to look at God's word, and you divide it according to the people groups it's going to. Then you know how it applies to you. When God's word resets our belief system, our life changes. We have to believe what it says, not just say what it says, but you start saying and pretty soon you believe it. There's a cultural replacement. There is a change agent, the person of the Holy Spirit that comes. When I used to travel in business, one of my roles was to go in and present the company culture and instill it in the people. And I had about 3 weeks to do that at a new location. And there was a way we dressed, there was a way we communicated, there was a way we did our work, there was a way things needed to be done. And it wasn't just because the company wanted it done that way, it's so that our employees could succeed wildly and they would not want to work anywhere else. And we learned what those things were. And part of my job was to come in and spread the word on what that was. And then listen for who's saying what I've been saying. When I start hearing people say what I'd been saying, I'd kind of earmark them. That's probably a supervisor. Right there's probably a manager in training. Well, I'd listen to their willingness to accept what I said and bring it into their vocabulary. And I knew if they began talking about it, then they got a hold of it in their mind. And if they thought about it in their mind, they would come in and begin to work that way, and they would be wildly successful. And when I would discover somebody like that, I'd say, you're going to go from your $10 an hour entry level to job to pretty soon you're going to be making $45, $55 an hour. I am. How do you know that? I said, I'm listening to what you talk about. That tells me what you're thinking about. And you're saying the right things. Now, if your body can produce everything you're saying, if you can move that fast, you're going to do that good. Well, how do you know that? I said, because I've done that before. And I'm living proof. Jesus is the living proof of everything that we will ever be, you see. So when we look at the word, we have a person who demonstrated what it was to fix everything that's broken. Now, 1 Peter, continuing right on down the line, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. Life change comes because we are a chosen generation. That's what we're marked for. when we come into the family, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. This is a different process. This is a different way of growing and changing than the world is going to do. It takes a little while to get used to the peculiar in the process. When people would argue with me in the same company, well, I've always done it this way, I would say every time, I don't care a bit about how you used to do it. If you're going to succeed here, you will listen to what I say. You will begin to do what I'm telling you to do, and you'll succeed. If you don't, I'll end up firing you in the course of about 3 weeks. Why? Because saying led to behavior change. This sermon didn't come from that, but it illustrates that very well. Because you represent the culture God hopes to have in the earth. You're His best representation. Jesus is counting on you to be the example of somebody that's been there and done that, and it worked. That's God's investment. That's why He so desperately wants the Holy Spirit to work in your life to make God's Word work, because then you become a living witness. And it isn't just the things you're saying, it's what's happening in your life. And He wants that for the body of Christ. And that's what's at stake in this hour that we live in. That's what the culture of the world invading the church is pushing out of a lot of churches. Because the change agent is God's Word, and sometimes there's a cutting to it. There's a piercing to it. You know, those should be our most memorable moments with God. Is He's working on me. So He says, what's wrong with you? You just might say, He's working on me. And if people keep pressing in, likewise, say, leave me alone. He's working on me. Why? I don't want anybody messing with the surgeon when he's working on me. Let him focus. Leave him alone. Let me be real still. I don't want to wiggle around. Why? He's working on me. If you've not had a moment like that in a while, He's inviting you to have a moment like that. He'll fix something broken. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should glorify Him who has called you out of darkness. That's what the piercing does. He's calling you out. Have you ever been called out by anybody? It can be a really great experience. It can be really like a terrible experience. But being called out in God depends on what you want to make of the experience. If you leave with the Word just piercing you, that's not so good. That's why we always want to end on a positive note here, with the promise of what God's doing with all of this. He's fixing something that's been broken that you didn't even maybe know was broken. Why? He wants you to have an outcome. He wants you to live and move and have your being in Him. He wants your life and lifestyle to be different. He wants everything you put your hand to prosper. See, we hear the promise saying, ooh, I get that. You only get that if you do what He says to do, see? And that has to do with saying what He says to say. Why? Saying changes our thought process. Our thought process ends up controlling what we really do. Now, He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's called you out. Why? He's moving us into a different environment, an environment of words. An environment of faith, which in time past you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Right? We're saying the right thing. Remember what He said in Isaiah? You put my words in your mouth, I'll make you be my people. It's acceptance. It's like the prodigal coming home and getting the robe and the ring from the Father. That's the experience He has in mind. We come out of something in order to enter in. I teach this. I'm going to say it again so you recognize some of the key phrases they use in the pulpit. We're not just saved from death and hell and the grave. We're saved to a life everlasting, a more abundant kind of life. Now, the word you believe and say will determine what you receive. And that's Mark 11. And I want to point it out and say, well, that's one of the Rhema verses. I know it. And it's transformed my whole way of living. So I'm going to share it because it brings us together. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever will say to this mountain, things that seem impossible, be removed and you be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I'm going to bring a little balance here, and then we're going to open the altar. This isn't for you to get everything you want. But Pastor, it says desire. Your desire has to match up with something in God's Word for you to say. See, people get upset. Well, how will I know it's the will of God? Read it. The book is the will. You know, If you could look at that Bible, and I told you now, if you dug down in there enough, you'd find a $10 million secret that you just would go dig up. Everybody go home. Nobody be sleeping much tonight. Everybody be calling each other. Hey, if you find it first, let's split it. Let's just both. You take the front of the book, I'll take. Wouldn't we strategize? And see, we don't understand. That's what God's Word is. It unlocks all the treasury of God, not just for stuff, but for a life fulfilling. This morning, as I close, we barely touched the tip today, and I knew we'd run out of time, and that's okay. It's the most fascinating thing we can learn is how God's Word works in our life, because we're in a covenant where the Holy Spirit helps us make it work. We have a helper they didn't have in the Old Testament church, not the way we do. This morning, if you recognize something broken and you just are ready to let God fix it, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. I'm going to ask that elders come and some leaders come that are full of the Word that can help you know Scripture to say. And I'll tell you this. If you ask them something they can't give you the Scripture for, they'll call you tomorrow. And they'll probably call me this afternoon. And that's okay. Why? We don't always have all the answers. Wish we did. But we know where to look. We know how to find them. We look unto Jesus, the author. He's also the finisher. That means he's got everything in there that we're going to need. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you this morning. And again, if there's something in your heart that you just know it's time to let the Holy Spirit work in you, you may come. This line of thinking will go for a little while because we're talking about what kind of church are we? Why do we do things we do? Why do we believe what we believe? It's rooted in the Scripture. I want you to see that. That's a foundation. That's what the cornerstone is. The Scripture is the written words of who Jesus is. So when we look there, we line up with the Master's plan for our life. And we begin to build on the rock, and our households, our families live better. Our physical health will improve if we look for God's good report in the Word and then listen to the teacher and how to get that report in our life. If we will put God's Word first, He will elevate us. That's the benefit of just choosing to believe God's Word and saying, Lord Jesus, help me do this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the attentiveness of every person in this house today. Father, listening to why. Why do we honor your Word? Why do we live a life of faith? What is this all about? Heavenly Father, help us grasp the idea that your Word is the highest authority in our lives, not the opinion of men, not our own life experience, but what does the Scripture say how we are to live to be pleasing to you? Now, Father, I thank you that in this house there's great blessing to be poured out as we embrace the truth of your Word. Father, I ask this morning for every person that's here, if they recognize a need for change, that you meet them with your authority and power in the altar to initiate change today. That your Word will go in, your spoken Word will go in to reset and to bring about a healing, to bring about a change. Father, there's nothing broken that your Word and your Spirit together won't fix. So we submit to you. Father, I thank you this is a house of rich fellowship that will draw on the knowledge of your Word in one another. Father, that will grow in that exceedingly. Father, I thank you that we're blessed coming and going from this place. When we go out, we carry your Word and your blessing. When we come in, we bring people to share the good news with. Father, thank you for your anointing on this house in Jesus' name.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.